You're about to hear Eddie Cantor, the modern Maiden's Prayer from 1917.
Oh, good one, Eddie Cantor. Had many appearances in Looney Tunes. So
he had a lot of appearances in Boardwalk Empire also, the show I'm watching. I mean, it was on years ago, but I'm watching now as I'm exercising.
Yeah. Eddie Cantor's the one who actually gave the Star of David to Sammy Davis Jr. after his car accident and helped him convert to Judaism.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I remember Sammy Davis Jr. telling the story about being at his low point. He lost his eye.
Oh.
And Eddie Cantor was there. The Star of David for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems like a made-up story.
Made up by me or by Sammy Davis Jr.?
By Sammy Davis Jr.
Why would he make that up?
He has a car accident, and Eddie Cantor just happened to be standing there.
No, he's in the hospital.
He's in the hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, so he's like
he didn't want him one like help! I need the joys of life. Now I gotta starve David for you.
You gotta convert. Then I'll help you.
Either you want better. Jeff, it is so fucking hot in here.
It is very warm right now. Yeah. So we're
why do you have an air conditioner? Don't you love your family?
Yes, but we decided we didn't want to be the family that was divorced from the elements, that was living in the same 72 degrees all year round.
What a horrible idea. And what's the pleasure in this? Like, oh, we know it's hot outside. We can figure that out.
But our choice is where to put an air conditioner in every single window, so then we can never open up a window in the summer. Or
one window, like everybody else.
But then you're only warming up one room, and our first floor is basically, like, it's kind of open. All four of the rooms are all connected to each other.
All you need is one window with a window unit in there, and it'll cool down the entire...
But it wouldn't cool down the entire area. It would cool down, like the igloo-sized area around it.
I have a bit... My first floor is bigger than your first floor.
Yeah.
I have one air conditioner, and it does the whole floor.
Now, see, we have air conditioners upstairs in all three of the bedrooms, and they won't even reach to the hallway.
We have a tiny hallway. They're too small.
Okay, that's probably
You just need something with, like, better BTUs. This is not a new invention.
No, it's not. No, and I'm trying to pivot away from the fact that an air conditioner is like $140, and the reason why we've been hot for 10 years is I didn't want to spend $140.
In the big scheme of things, it's not terrible.
No, it's not.
You have $140. You just sold the book.
I guess I should mention, yes, I did finally sell the book I've been working on about Mickey Mouse.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Take that money and buy a fucking air conditioner.
I'm not Mr. Moneybags here.
I feel like I'm learning what it was to be alive in 1917 right now.
You're learning what my advance was that I can't afford a $140 air conditioner.
This is him. It's like you sold your book to me.
Welcome to the 1917 podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Ryan. With me, as always, is Vinny Nardiello.
Ahoy, hoy. I'm so hot.
Ahoy, hoy, hoy. We are going to try to bang this out quick so that we can go home to our respective air conditionings. I'm just going to go upstairs to AC, which is, you know.
Can we record upstairs?
No, because people are up. I've, like, banished everyone up to their rooms for the evening.
We'll let your daughter sit in on the show.
That would be weird. That would change the whole vibe. Last week we had Steve Canova, a friend of the show, who gave us t-shirts on, and that was great. But that was also like performing for an audience of one, and it was really nice. I liked it, but it was a slightly different vibe than normal. I would love to have an audience on a regular basis, but I don't know if an audience of my children is going to work.
No, what we could do is. I think it'd be cooler if we went outside.
Yeah, we can try that.
But if we go outside,
oh, the cigar!
You should be
every
smoking.
Week. You're trying to pivot back to the cigar.
It's a great plan.
Wait, the plan to go outside or the plan to get me to smoke the
cigar outside? No, we're here. We're sitting at the kitchen table. I don't feel like packing up my things and all these six. How do you even get out? How do you get to your backyard? Do you have a door?
Yeah, we have a door, but it's halfway down the stairs. It's very inconvenient.
Oh, yeah. If a fire broke out, I had to go to the back door, and I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, like when I go to other people's houses and I see they have a door that goes directly to the backyard, it's like, oh wow, it's the money back.
Rockefeller here. Oh my gosh.
I feel that about the oddest things,
like an aristocrat.
If If you have a refrigerator with a water dispenser in it, millionaire. Absolute 100% millionaire. Because my grandparents had one of those, and they must have been millionaires.
They're millionaires, your grandparents.
Oh, must have been. Multi-millionaires. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the water dispenser on the fridge.
No?
I don't like the water. Whenever I've had water from a fridge water dispenser, I don't think it's good water.
It comes out much slower than the tap.
Yeah.
And it's colder than the tap, but it's not so much colder. It's, you still need a Brita still, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have one?
I have a Brita.
Now, do you have the thing that dispenses water in the fridge?
No, I hate my refrigerator. Because we bought a house, and the fridge came with the house.
Yeah.
And the freezer's on the bottom.
Oh.
Ugh, I hate that.
Oh. Some people who have that have converted. They prefer it.
My mom prefers the freezer on the bottom. She's out of her fucking mind.
Now, does she like it more because she can access it better?
I mean, she's 70, so she doesn't want to bend down in the fridge to get things out of the...
I've heard the advantage...
Out of the crisper, but, it's up higher, so I guess she likes that part of it. You don't go to the freezer as much. But me, I can bend. So I want my freezer up top. I think it's on the bottom. It's inconvenient. It's messier.
Isn't it nice to have all of your important stuff like milk at eye level?
No, I don't. I feel like it's hard to organize a bottom freezer.
That's true. Yeah, because there's bins and you just throw everything in there.
No, I don't like it at all.
And if you're trying to look for a package of spinach, good luck. You got to go underneath everything else.
Podcasters have like their Amazon like wish list.
Yeah,
we should have that. I want a freezer on top. I'm on my Amazon wish list.
Speaking
of, an air conditioner for you.
Speaking of podcast sponsors, we should do our sponsor this week. Kodak pictures from home. And there's a picture of a bunch of servicemen in World War I looking around fondly at a photograph that someone has sent home, or sent them from home.
Of their sweetheart, I assume.
It could be, but there's like 20 guys looking at this one picture.
So she got around.
Yeah, it's creepy. If it's a picture of her, it's creepy. I'm hoping it's a picture of like a younger brother or a younger sister.
20 guys are gathering around looking at a picture of a 12-year-old boy. That's less creepy.
What are they showing a picture of? Maybe an addition.
So somebody showing a picture of an adult woman is creepy, but
showing a 12-year-old boy is less creepy.
Yeah, and they're sort of like was it ogling or ogling? What's the word?
Ogling. Okay. Fill in the blank for me. What are they looking at that's not creepy? 20 army guys looking around at one photograph.
I got it.
Okay.
They're looking at a photograph of enemy plans.
Enemy plans.
And now they're piecing together how they're going to beat the Krauts.
I was going to go with Family Dog.
Oh, okay, that works though.
Okay, so.
How do we split the difference? It's the Kaiser's Dog.
The Kaiser's Dog, very good. German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures from home. Let the times temper your giving that the spirit of Christmas may be carried to our soldiers overseas. Oh, the copy reveals that this is a Christmas card. But it's a horizontal Christmas card. It looks like a postcard. But I guess you can do that. There's nothing saying a Christmas card can't be a postcard.
I believe I've been given horizontal Christmas cards.
Did they fold open?
Yeah.
If they folded open, okay, that's fine. Yeah. Make your gift to those at home a Kodak that they in turn may make light hearts and happy faces by sending a continued Kodak story of that home to their brave lads somewhere in France. Helpful organizations are doing a great work in looking after their physical comforts, but the folks at home are the ones who can keep them cheerful in mind and heart, and pictures will help. I have to be honest, I didn't really understand much of that. Word salad.
Yeah, it's horrible copy.
Yeah. I realized what they're trying to say is, send pictures. I don't need to explain that people want to see pictures, but we'll have nice ways of saying it. But they did it so obliquely. Maybe that was how people actually talked in 1917. Because we've read a lot of ad copy at this point, and most of it actually made sense.
Yeah, that was just words.
Yeah. This was like the earliest, crawling out of the primordial muck attempts at advertising.
Now, we discussed this with Andy Cap Hot Fries last week, and Andy Cap Hot Fries are still around.
Yes.
All right? Is Kodak still around?
Kodak is, I think...
There's no film.
The company is...
What do they make?
I think they make digital cameras, and I think they've moved into, enterprise software.
And nobody who has... Don't most people just use their phone?
Yeah, it's like a real tragic business story because they did work a lot on the early digital cameras, but they gave up on it because they felt like it would cut into their film sales. And because of that, other people kept on continuing with the digital camera market, and they lost out on everything. And they could have been one of the people that was providing all the stuff for Apple, but instead they're just a sliver of what they used to be. I don't know if they're even a company. I'm sure the brand is still around, but someone else could have bought them.
All right, let me look this up here. Using our research at Wikipedia.
While Vinny's looking that up, I'm going to tell you about the explosion of the week.
Oh my God, so many explosions.
This week's explosion is the HMS Vanguard. It was a British ship. Thanks to a bad cordite situation, it explodes in Scapa Flow, Scotland, and it kills 804 people. I didn't know 804 people could fit on a ship that wasn't like an aircraft carrier. That seems like an inordinate amount of people. Like you have a ship, like a pirate ship, is like 20, 30 people at most, right? So
anyway, I forget what Kodak does now.
Oh, what does Kodak do?
They mainly do inkjets.
Inkjet printing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do 804 people do on a ship?
I wasn't paying attention. What happened?
804 people died when a ship exploded. I'm trying to figure out what they did.
All right, well, one guy drives.
One guy drives, okay.
Right, and you got to take shifts.
Okay, so you need so like 8 hour three shifts. Guys.
Okay? Okay, so yeah, there's three guys. Three of those people drive the boat.
So we're now down to only 801 crew members.
All right, you know, let's just say there's a kitchen.
Kitchen?
20 people in the kitchen.
Good, good.
All right.
I guess at a certain point, it's like
one guy.
Town.
Well, yeah, one guy mops.
Yeah,
a mopper.
You, it's big enough so you need a whole janitorial staff instead of like one guy saying, you know, got to clean out the
head. Right, so that's probably like what, a dozen.
Yeah, and maybe there's a lot of people on board just for fighting. Maybe it was a transport ship.
Yeah, you know, the jazz quartet.
Yeah,
I've been on ships before. There's usually a jazz band, the stand up, stand-up comic.
Yeah, Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Lifeguard. There'll be a bartender.
Yeah. What's interesting about this explosion, because I needed to find some interesting aspect of this, is that where it blew up was in Scapa Flow, Scotland. 2 years later, almost the entire German fleet would explode in Scapa Flow. But they did that on purpose, because this was the very end of the war, and Germany was losing, and they wanted to scuttle their ships so that the Germans or the French wouldn't be able to use them. And so they went all the way out on out near Orkney in Scotland and tried to blow them all up. They blew up 52 of their 74 vessels.
All right, so you have to get the ships out there.
Uh-huh.
Who's on the ships? Who's driving them out?
I'm guessing it's a skeleton crew.
And then they
you don't need all 804 people.
Or do they blow up too?
Maybe it's like they blow up the first ship and everyone moves to the second ship, and then a greater number of people blow up the second ship and move to the third
and then they're
ship.
Farther on the last one.
Yeah, and then like
Santa Maria.
Yeah, then the last one is just totally packed. It looks like Rodney Dangerfield's backyard in
Easy Money.
In Easy Money, and then that one sails away. For a long time, they would take tours down to Scapa Flow to show you where all the German ships were sunk. And they tried to raise a lot of them, and I think they've used them for like growing marine wildlife. So there's a lot of story there if you're interested in perusing that. But we have other story to get to, 1917 related story. We're going to talk about the Cottingley Ferries. Do you know anything about the Cottingley Ferries?
You know, you told me before I came over that this is what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. I could have looked it up.
You could have.
Right in.
Yeah. Did you see either of the 1997 movies about the Cottingley Ferries?
More of the movies.
One of them was called Fairy Tale, A True Story. The other one was called Ferries.
No.
No. It was like a vice versa 18 again thing where they both came out at the same time.
This seems like one of the... I bet they spell fairy F-A-E.
No, both of them spells it the non-Live Journal account way.
Oh.
They spell it F-A-I-R-Y.
Okay, that seems more like when you use it as a slur, though.
Yeah. So, our Nickelodeon, if you want to catch up on this, you can watch Fairies, which features Ben Kingsley, or you can watch Fairy Tale, A True Story.
Does Ben Kingsley play a fairy?
No, he plays Reverend Templeton. But Fairy Tale, A True Story is the one with the bigger budget. That features Peter O'Toole and Harvey Keitel. Mm-hmm. That's the one I've seen. And that's a pretty good movie. Considering that it's like...
There's a lot of people I would put in a fairy movie.
Would you put Peter O'Toole and Harvey Keitel in any movie? They don't seem like people that should be interacting.
As fairies. Would you want them as fairies? What about... Yeah. Oh, we could also do Dwayne The Rock Johnson when he was in Tooth Fairy.
He was Tooth Fairy. Yeah. So, this particular fairy, the Cottingsley Fairies. There was a girl named Elsie Wright. She was 16 years old. And she has a cousin, Frances Griffith, who's 9, who moves up to the Yorkshire area from South Africa. And they start playing. They play all through the summer of 1917.
Is this real life or in the movies?
This is real life.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the real life story. And then you can watch the movies and see how well they capture real life. So, in the summer of 1917, they're playing in the stream, which, because they're in Yorkshire, they call the Beck. And they decide they're going to tice some fairies. Tice means like entice, to get the fairies to show up. And that's their game. They tice the fairies. And they like to play in the stream, and their dad gets upset that they're getting their like socks and stockings wet by standing in the stream. So they decide to prove to him, no, we're not just playing, we're actually seeing fairies. So they take a camera, they make some cutouts, and they put one girl in front of pictures of fairies. And then they take a picture and they show it to him. And it's cute and it's funny. That's 1917. Now in 1918, they sent some pictures of those as relative to the relatives in South Africa. They did it just as a joke. Again, it's no big deal. They just took pictures of fairies mm-hmm. that were cut out. Now in 1919, this is when it gets interesting, because Elsie's mom goes to a Theosophical Society meeting.
I'm religious?
Uh-huh, yes.
Philosophy?
Yes. Yes. I had to look them up because I read tangentially about the Theosophical Society for a long time. I never actually pulled the trigger to figure out what they were. And what they were was just a hodgepodge. They partly believed that, like, Buddhist monks had superpowers. They partly believed...
Like Unitarians.
In monks at Stonehenge.
I'm serious. That'd become a Unitarian kind of thing?
I think... People nowadays who become Unitarians back then might have joined the Theosophical Society.
Are you a Unitarian?
I got married at a Unitarian church.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, but we haven't been there in a long time. Yeah, we thought that we'd be going, and then after we got married, it's like, all of a sudden the urge in doing this has gone away. So, the Theosophical Society was founded in New York City in 1875. So it's a New York City-based religion. So take that as you will. They also believe in Atlantis, they believe in psychic powers, and they think a new master race is coming, that we will evolve into something better than humanity.
And that raises fairies. Is that where it's going?
That's where it's going.
All right.
So they saw this picture that's clearly, clearly fake. Clearly a girl standing in front of like cardboard cutouts of 3-inch fairies and said, "This is real. These fairies are real. This is amazing. Fairies are real. This is the next generation of humanity."
People fall for worse things now. Yeah. At a time when there's like very easy Photoshop, people
right. still fall for it. So they start to study the photos, and they try to prove that there's no photo trickery involved. But the photo trickery they're looking for is like after you took a picture, you would then put cardboard fairies on another picture and then photograph that. But this was all an in-camera trick. So they're not going to find any sort of like doctoring that way. It's just, like, if you wanted to be someone with a scar, and you just drew a scar on you, and I said, there's clearly no computer-generated imagery here, right, therefore the scar is real.
Because it's actually on the film.
Right. That's not how you would fake a scar. If you want to fake a fairy, you just make a cutout. So, in comes Arthur Conan Doyle. Peter O'Toole, in the fairy tale movie, plays Arthur Conan Doyle.
I don't know what Arthur Conan Doyle looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But why do I picture him dressed like Sherlock Holmes?
I'm picturing him dressed like Sherlock Holmes, too.
I'm
totally with you. So, ACD has just finished...
But it wouldn't make sense for him to be dressed like Sherlock Holmes. No. They think of Stephen King walking around dressed like Pennywise.
No, and not only is he not dressed like Holmes, he doesn't act like Holmes at all. Because he sees this picture and he goes, "That is real! That is 100% authentic!" He goes all the way...
A magnificent Peter O'Toole.
Thank you. He goes all the way to Kodak in Rochester, New York. We were just talking about Kodak. And he asked them to assert that the photographs are real. And Kodak's like, no. Because they look at it like, we don't want to embarrass you, but this is clearly a cardboard cutout. But he's like, well, they didn't say no, so I'm going to take that as a yes. He then goes to a British photographer called Ilford. Ilford says it's fake, but Arthur Conan Doyle says, okay, so two people have said it's real, me and Kodak, and Ilford says it's fake. Therefore, two against one, it's definitely real. All facts are now pointing towards the reality, the veracity of this photograph. It's amazing if you can take something that's not true and, like, use, like, the trappings of the scientific process. Yeah. You can believe just about anything and believe that it's totally, totally accurate. And this is nonsense. I can show you a picture, and you're like, wait, this is what people believed? This can't be it. This can't be it.
Have you listened to any Alex Jones at all?
I've tried not to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's the same kind it's of idea. Same, yeah.
Exactly the same idea. It's 100 years removed. So
Arthur Conan Doyle, the Alex Jones of his day.
Oh, I don't want to say that because I love Arthur Conan Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll say he's the Art Bell of his day.
I find Alex Jones entertaining. I'll admit it. He's out of his mind and an awful person, but quite as entertaining. You ever seen when he does his reads for testosterone?
I've never seen it enough to know.
One of his big advertisers is testosterone. Now he takes his testosterone, and to demonstrate, then he takes his shirt off and does push-ups to show how much testosterone he has.
He does kind of look like a raging bull.
Yeah, he just takes his shirt off and he's like, you know, dumpy shape. You know what I mean? No, he's like in shape dumpy. Remember I told you, I thought you were skinny fat. He's like in shape dumpy. And he does push-ups and demonstrates that how much testosterone he has.
Yeah, he's the sort of guy who decides, instead of, like, dropping weight in the stomach, I'm going to increase weight in my chest.
Yeah, he's got his big arms.
Yeah. Yeah, he decides, what's my ideal look? Tank Abbott. That's what I'm going to try to look like.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know why you don't listen to this. This is very entertaining.
Okay, so Arthur Conan Doyle has a guy named Gardner. Gardner is sent to Coddingsley to see the fairies in action. And he stays there for, like, a month. And the girls are in, like, this terrible situation where they just took a picture to be fun, and now a whole bunch of grown-ups believe it. And the girls are being told, like, you're in terrible trouble around the world and will bring shame to your family if this is proved to be fake. But they can't admit that it was, like, we just did this. We didn't think anyone would believe it. We weren't even trying to be real. It's not remotely convincing, but they're on the line to not let down all of these grown-ups. So one day, they say, oh, the fairies won't come out when it's raining, and it rains for a long time. So one day, it finally stops raining.
It's England, right?
Yeah. So they take some more cardboard cutouts. They go out in the woods. They take more pictures. They come back and say, the fairies came back, and we have more pictures to show you, finally. And
do these pictures? Can I see these pictures?
Yeah, the pictures go in Strand magazine, which then sells out. So now millions of people around the country and around the world are believing in fairies because of these girls.
I'll look up my phone. What's it called?
The Coddingsley Fairies. It's like a reverse Santa Claus. The kids are lying to the parents about the existence of, like, magical sprites because they don't want to let the parents down.
All right. I'm looking at the picture now.
Okay.
Anybody home, please look it up. Coddingsley Fairies. How did anybody believe this?
Yeah, but
it's well-made artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Did they draw these themselves?
No. They cut them out of a very popular picture book of the day, which would be like if I cut out a picture of a Wookiee, because that's like the popularity level, and said, look, I have brownies in my backyard. Any sane person would look at it and say, you cut out a picture of a Wookiee. I recognize that particular Wookiee and the pose that he's in. And it's clearly a cardboard cutout that you've colored.
Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what convinced a nation. That's what convinced the writer of the greatest detective series of all time. It's a flat image.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Gardner comes back again in 1921 with a psychic. The psychic not only believes in fairies, but sees fairies all over the place. No one takes any pictures, though. The girls eventually just become regular women, and their claim to fame is forgotten. Decades later, they break their silence and go public.
Well, it's like people did the Patterson film from 1960. with Bigfoot, right?
Yeah.
Later on, there's like, yeah, we didn't think people would believe us, but for some reason, people did.
Right. Right. So if you look at motion-stabilized Bigfoot footage, it's clearly a guy in a woolly suit walking. And he's like, he's a tall guy,
mm-hmm.
and he's like walking kind of broadly, but he's not Bigfoot. He's
no.
He's just a guy
you
in a
see his
bear
zipper
costume.
On his back.
So one of the girls finally admits, yeah, we faked these pictures. I can't believe you guys have fallen for it for so many decades. That was Elise who said that. Frances kind of doubles down. She says, yeah, we faked them all, except the last picture. The last picture was real. The last picture really did have fairies. I don't know why she does this. I think she just doesn't want to let people down.
I think she's just having fun breaking balls.
I'm going to give her a little more credit. I think she just doesn't want to break so many people's hearts, because that's what she was not doing by keeping the secret. So she couldn't go all the way to say, no, nothing is real. It's all imaginary, and there's nothing after we die. She wanted just a little bit of magic left in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I applaud her for that, even though what she did was clearly just take a picture of a cardboard cutout. Harvey Keitel is in A Fairy Tale, True Story. He plays Harry Houdini. That was made up for the movie. I don't think Harry Houdini was involved.
Houdini was a debunker.
He was. And in the movie, they totally reverse him. They have him saying that he feels kinship with the girls because they're like scam artists just like him. And he says something like, I see no hint of falsity in these pictures.
Houdini wasn't a scam artist. He was like a...
He was the opposite. He was
yeah.
He was debunking all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was his thing, because...
His thing is he and his wife had the secret word.
Yeah, the secret word. If he died and his ghost would try to contact her, if they passed on the secret word, then she would know. And it's never happened.
My cousin has a friend that claims to be a psychic. She talks to my dead grandparents all the time.
Oh.
And my cousin's bi, I think, a little bit.
Oh.
And so my father and I, we have a secret word for when he dies, or if I die after some kind of tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Can
I have three guesses on the secret word?
No.
No?
Go ahead. All right, guess.
Okay.
But we'll debunk her.
Okay, but if I do guess a secret word, you need to actually let me know and just change what the
okay.
secret word
all
is.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Three guesses. Secret word, you and your dad.
No, remember, it has to be something my father would actually remember.
Yeah. Okay. Number one, Jooch.
No.
It's
not Jooch. Are you calling my father and I Jooches?
No, I'm not calling your father a Jooch at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two. Laser cat.
No.
Number three, two cows.
Holy shit. No.
Okay. No, I didn't get all three. And I will not ask you to then say what it really was.
No, I won't. I'm not going to, you know.
Now, is it reciprocal?
Yes, yeah, for either one of us.
Oh, okay.
If I die young,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Gail lives me. His first thought is going to be to debunk a psychic.
His first thought is going to be going to seance after seance just to rub it in their faces.
Yeah, well...
I don't get to talk to my dead son.
My cousin's and his friend who claims to talk to my grandparents. Yeah, for some reason, my grandparents, they never ask about me. Because she knows I don't believe and I won't indulge her. So my grandparents, in their death, because I don't believe, don't ask about me. They don't give two shits about me because I'm a non-believer.
My mom goes to psychics on a somewhat regular basis, and she at the same time knew that they were totally fake and just making stuff up, but she liked the comfort of having a conversation about her future. It didn't matter that it wasn't real, but she would sometimes pass things on. I remember, this was when we were roommates, she said, like, someone said that my son would possibly get into a car accident driving a blue car. And blue car is like, that's like the easiest way of describing just about any vehicle. And at the time, if you remember, I was driving a white minivan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't drive a blue car. It's not blue and it's not even a car. And she's like, but still. She knew you might have an accident. Like, but no, she saw a blue car having an accident.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, but the interior is kind of blue.
Is she still holding on to this as a possible thing that might happen to you?
I think she's accepted that I'm not going to be an accident in a blue car.
Are you resistant to buy a blue car now?
Ooh, have I ever bought a blue... Oh, no. Oh, no. A couple months after that, I met and started to go out with Cindy, who's my wife, and Cindy was driving a light blue car.
And did she have an accident? Or are you the accident?
No, no. We drove that car into the ground. It was still running when we gave it away. We were just too embarrassed to keep moving around with it. So we never had an accident. But maybe we did something. Maybe the premonition was true and we...
Did you impregnate her in the blue car?
No.
Okay.
No, it was a Dodge Omni. There's no room for one person in the backseat, much less two.
Maybe that's what you meant by the accident. You know, did everybody get that joke?
Oh. I did not get that joke, but I'm glad you explained it because it went totally over my head.
It's a little slow. Really hot. Yeah. Holy shit.
Okay, we're gonna just bang this out and finish it out. Our birthday this week is Andrew Wyeth, the American landscape painter. He painted one of the most famous and haunting images of the 20th century called Christina's World. Now, you see the picture, and it's striking and it's evocative, and then you hear the story behind it, and it's a heartbreak. So, everyone, look up, if you haven't seen it already, look up Christina's World. Do you know Christina's
World? I know the picture, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I know the story, though. Do you want to tell the story, Jeff?
Okay, so the story is that Christina has polio, where she's some other disease that has affected her legs, so she can't walk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in a wheelchair, but her house, which is on a hill in like the countryside or the rolling plains of Iowa, Nebraska, or somewhere, there's not wheelchair accessibility. And this is before roads were around, because this was a real frontier town. So someone would carry her to the bottom of the hill and put her down, and she'd be able to look around. And the picture is of this woman whose legs aren't working, trying to like crawl and look around. And it's called Christina's World because this is all she has ever seen or will ever see.
Yeah.
This is her entire world, just this hill and the house on the top of it. And they use a lot of the imagery in the show Preacher. Or they started, that's what the comic was based on, the 90s comic, and they've carried it over into the show.
I haven't really seen the TV show much.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Well, it's an unusual show. They're doing things that you haven't ever seen on TV, but often it's for a good reason. But and it's not super faithful to the comics, but you wouldn't want it to be faithful to the comics because you'd just burn through the story. You'd be like,
yeah, it's not like a
eight
real,
episodes and you're done.
Yeah, it's a real in-depth story.
Right. Okay, so done with birthdays. On to Mr. Wizard so that we can get into air conditioning. Having a birthday this week is Don Herbert.
I love Mr. Wizard.
Don Herbert, Mr. Wizard.
I love it.
You watched it growing up?
I didn't realize that was an older show. Like, we saw it on Nickelodeon in the 80s.
Yeah.
Apparently, my parents watched Mr. Wizard.
He went
also.
Back to the 1950s.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like the Neil deGrasse Tyson of his day, where he was a
who's
science
a good friend
educator.
Of yours, for understand.
He doesn't know who I am, but I know who he is, and I've shaken his hand.
Oh.
Yeah. He called me Jonathan. So, our quiz is on...
He's a genius now, huh? We know your name, you don't know his. Smart guy.
Our quiz is on Mr. Wizard, and as I do the quiz, you will learn about Don Herbert, Mr. Wizard. His full name, by the way, was Don Herbert Kemsky. He was born in Wisconsin, July 10th, 1917. Okay. In recognition of his work as Mr. Wizard, what 1990s kids show named two penguin puppets Don and Herb after him?
It's science-based.
Science-based.
I'm guessing Beekman's World.
Yes, Beekman's World. Wow.
Yeah.
Batting 1,000 so far.
All right.
Okay. Are you allowed to say batting 1,000 after just one question?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to take it away from you, but you know, batting 1,000 suggests you've done more than...
No, and here's something even crazier.
Okay.
I've never seen Beekman's World. I only know that it existed.
I'm impressed. I never saw Beekman's World either. I thought that because it was a 90s show, and you were too old for it at that point.
Well, see for yourself.
Okay, fresh-faced teen. So
no way, man. I was out with a crushing tail, man.
What more recent science-based show aired a tribute episode to Don Herbert soon after he died?
More recent science-based show?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Science Educators, Home Experiments.
Is Bill Nye recent?
Yes, but we were looking for Mythbusters.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was saying, Bill Nye was a contemporary of Beak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still think of Bill Nye as the guy from Almost Live. Because Bill, the science guy, was a character he would do on Almost Live, which was a sketch show like 30 years ago that aired on Comedy Central back when I think it was still the Comedy Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that show became so popular, and he learned about science to do, like, the character
right. He's not actually a scientist. He's like
a, no, he's not a scientist.
Like, but, a shitty improv comic.
But he kept on, like, he, like, became the character. Kind of like, it's a lot like Gilbert Gottfried. Like, Gilbert Gottfried's like, ah, yeah, yeah. That's not his voice. Oh. That was an annoying character he did on SNL that then became his whole shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I'm now wondering how many other connections there are to Bill Nye and Gilbert Gottfried. Or if there's other people in this club who, like what we know about them is just an act. I guess
Andrew Dice Clay. How about Larry the Cable Guy?
Yes, yes. Good example. Mm-hmm. Good example. Although my Andrew Dice Clay is an even better example.
No, I go Larry Cable Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In 1982, Don Herbert was a guest on the first episode of what long-running talk show? Was he the first guest on Donahue, the first guest on Oprah, or the first guest on Letterman?
Bill Murray was the first guest on Letterman, so I know it wasn't Bill Murray. Probably Donahue.
It was Letterman.
No, Bill Murray was the first guest.
He was on the first episode.
No, that's not right.
You
said first guest.
I said first guest?
Yeah.
Oh, I wrote a guest on the first episode. I may have said first guest on the first episode. If that's the case, I'll admit that it is, and I screwed up. I nixed the question for you. I made it impossible to answer correctly.
I knew he used to be on Letterman all the time.
In the 1950s, Mr. Wizard was a science expert on General Electric Theater. This is where he got his real start, where people really knew who he was. Who was the host of General Electric Theater?
Let's see.
It was like a variety show.
All right. It was NBC.
I did not know this.
General Electric Theater.
Let's... And you have heard of this guy.
Steve Allen.
Ronald Reagan.
Oh.
It's weird to think of Ronald Reagan as like a former like talk show host.
Or a former MC. Well, it's like, because of our age, we were introduced to Reagan as a president.
Yeah.
Like, my first MC, like, so I don't know him as, like, an actor who did these, like, goofy movies and became a politician. Like,
right.
Like, as, looking back now, this must have blown the minds of people, actually.
I feel the same way, like, if you were one of, like, the nine people who bought Barack Obama's book in 1995, like, oh, this memoir about this, this kid who had a Kenyan dad and a Hawaiian mom, and he grew up all over the world, yeah, and then he was a lawyer at Harvard. Yeah, this is a good read.
I think if you're a kid now, and you only know Al Franken as a senator,
then you find out that he was Stuart Smalley and all
yeah.
that. Yeah. Again, that's a superior example to mine.
Mm-hmm. As usual.
Mr. Wizard's first show was broadcast out of NBC's WNBQ in what Midwestern city?
Hmm.
Born in Wisconsin, so it's Wisconsin adjacent.
Let's see, Minnesota, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Good guess, Chicago.
Okay.
And I was living in Green Bay at the time when I watched Mr. Wizard. So I had this connection because he was aired on like the Canadian channels on CBC, and he had this Chicago base also. I watched Bozo the Clown growing up also, which was a
local... Like the real Bozo? Chicago was real Bozo, right?
Chicago was where the real Bozo was. The real Bozo was Pinto Colvig, who was the voice of Goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And he left Disney in the late 30s to go be an independent star, and he became Bozo the Clown. But there was a different Bozo by then. But he hosted like a kid's variety show.
No,
Bozo, which is so much like Krusty the Clown.
Was it the Chicago Bozo you saw?
I saw the Chicago
Bozo. Okay, he's franchised. He was franchised.
Oh.
Yeah, Bozo was... Oh. The original, I believe, was in Chicago. Or yeah. That was he was like the main one.
Okay.
But there'd be independent Bozos in different cities.
Oh.
And so, yeah, he actually franchised the various cities.
See, I thought we were just lucky. I thought we were the only kids in the whole world getting Bozo.
No, you got, like, you know, you got the good Bozo.
Yeah, yeah, I got a superior
I don't know Bozo. If, like, my area, like, growing up around here, I don't mm-hmm. think we had a Bozo.
No, no, you had Mario Cantone from Steam Pie Valley.
That's true.
Yeah. It's once again so weird to see Mario Cantone actually is like still a star nowadays, still looking very good for being a man in his, you know, in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew him as the guy hosting the Sunday morning game
Channel
show.
9 show, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back you, in you the also, Romper Room. I think Romper Room is also a franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think, there's no reason to do that stuff now. It's cable.
Right. But yeah, there was a golden era of local franchising back then.
Mm hmm. What if Mario Cantone? But what if there was a different Mario Cantone in every city? Like we happen to have the original,
but they've cloned
it. Yeah, there's like a Pittsburgh Mario. Like they all kind of look like Mario Cantone, but like a little bit off.
Luigi Cantone. Luigi Cantone.
You know, yeah, we got a Tampa Mario. We got a
Tampa Mario sounds horrible. Tampa Mario sounds like a disease. Okay, back in Mr. Wizard. In World War II, Don Herbert flew 56 combat missions. Did he retire as a sergeant, a corporal, a captain, or a major?
Captain.
Captain, yes. He was a real deal.
No, I knew this. I don't really know it.
Okay.
I ran in my head. What sounds best with Don Herbert? Captain Don Herbert sounded the best.
That sounds great. But he'd be Captain Kemsky, because I'm sure he was going by his real name back then.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Captain Kemsky? Yeah. The,
no, I don't like
the
it.
The K sounds?
It's like Captain Kangaroo.
No. Oh. But maybe that's what got him into children's entertainment.
There's only one Captain Kangaroo, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no, wait, I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, there's another one?
They revived the Captain Kangaroo. They did. They remember Bob Keeshan when we were kids.
Yeah.
And he retired, and he brought back a guy, like, he was kind of like, I'm trying to think about like a David Ogden Steers type.
Okay.
Captain Kangaroo.
What about the Captain Kangaroo pimp from
I know
from Black Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me see if I can get Captain Kangaroo. Let's see if I'm remembering him right as a David Ogden Steers esque.
While you're looking that up, you can also cogitate on this. Which is not the name of one of his TV shows. Was it Mr. Wizard's World? Was it Watch Mr. Wizard? Or was it Science with Mr. Wizard?
Watch Mr. Wizard.
You would think. But no, it was Science with Mr. Wizard. Watch Mr. Wizard was from the 50s. Yeah. Yeah, I see... I'm
showing him the picture of...
Steers. That's kind of creepy. I see a lot of Rikishi, the wrestler, as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, yeah, you know, he does have a Polynesian look to him.
Yeah. And in that picture, at least.
Yeah, there's that. There's the character actor, Paul Bartel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what follower in Mr. Wizard's footsteps wrote his obituary for the L.A. Times? We've mentioned him already.
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye, yes. Good.
Poor Beekman doesn't get to... Like Bill Nye is nostalgic for it. He gets to come back and everything.
I've what never about seen Beekman's World. I assumed he was a Muppet. Or is that Beekman?
Maybe he's not real. Yeah, you're right. Maybe he's actually not.
I think he's a cartoon. Oh, no, but they said that there was two penguin puppets, so he must be in real life. But I'm imagining like an orange shock wig.
A guy with a shirt, like a big wig?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys, we're going to talk about some totally awesome science!
I'm Beekman!
Yeah.
Or is he M-A-N-N? Like, you know, like Jewish.
Beekman could be Jewish, even with one N.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. And it's so late. And we're so sweaty, so we're just going to power through and not even look it up. What was the nickname for the sort of science that Don Herbert did, where you were encouraged to try it at home? This is one thing that separated him from, like, the Mythbusters, who would be, like, you know, blowing up cars and doing dangerous stuff. This was a you-can-try-this-at-home thing. Like, putting a fire underneath mason jars so that the egg will slide
there's
down.
There's a term for this.
Yes.
Try-at-home science.
Kitchen science, very okay. close. And last question. What horrendous band name-checks Mr. Wizard in its song, Walking on the Sun?
Insane Clown Posse.
Smash Mouth.
Oh, okay.
I'm very proud of you for getting that question wrong. And with that, we conclude this sweaty week of the 1917 podcast. Join us next week when we talk about the founding of a country. A country gets founded next week.
Is it America?
No, America was founded a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even the we have two countries that are going to be founded this year alone in 1917. So we're going to talk
about
the first
one. It's going to be war-related, right?
Of course it's war-related. Right. And it's a country that is in perpetual war. And it's not even around anymore because they blew themselves up like 18 times in a row. But you'll hear all about it next week. Until then, ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy, I'm hot.